Let's pray. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be together today. Thank you for a reminder in song that without you, we're in trouble, but that you're here to help us, that you love us, that you're for us, and that if we hang on to you, things can be better. I pray that as we look at your word today, you will help us see things that matter so that we can live the life that you intended for us. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So this fall, we're inviting you to read through the Gospels with us, a chapter a day, and we're doing that as a church for three reasons. Number one, it's always good to soak yourself in the words and the stories of Jesus. Jesus is brilliant in how he treats people, in how he trusts God, in how he looks at life. He's so smart. So it's good for us to think his thoughts, to read his story. Number two, it is good for our whole group to regularly do something together as a church. Singing together is good. Eating together is good. Studying together, giving together, working together, golfing together, healing together, encouraging, coaching, pickleballing. It's good for us to do stuff together. It's good for churches to do life together. So we're going to do this project together this fall. Number three, I would like to offer you a chance this fall to work through the story of Jesus in a way that I never got to. I grew up with a couple of good churches where we would read and talk a lot about the Bible. Good churches, good people, good softball teams, good donuts, good classes on Jesus and the church and baptism and heaven and forensic righteousness. But I don't ever remember approaching God through the prism that Jesus favored in all of his teachings. In fact, until a couple of years ago, I didn't even know that I didn't know this. But I should have. I could have. It's in there. It's in there a lot. It's in there the most. I just never saw it because no one ever said, hey, John, look at this. So this fall, we're going to try this. Did you hear that they have discovered what might be the first pun ever? They found it in Egypt. It says, it's a picture, and it says, Cleopatra walks by and Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar. Anyway, the one idea that Jesus frames all of his work in this fall, the one thing that Jesus wants us to see, we're going to look at. Today's text is Matthew 4, because today is September 4, and we're doing one chapter a day. Do you see how that kind of works? Yesterday, we read Matthew 3 together, which we read because it was September 3rd, where John the Baptizer said that the kingdom had now come to earth. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And what John was shouting at people from the banks of the Jordan River, the kingdom of heaven has come near, Jesus would go on to use as his main theme for the next 3 years. In Matthew 4, in today's chapter, it says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, Jesus withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. From his very first ever preaching to his most famous sermon ever, it was always about the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 5, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, what was the first thing he said in that sermon? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When his guys asked him to teach them to pray, how to pray, it was kingdom first. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus was telling them what to focus on, it was all about the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When he's telling stories to help them get the point of why he was here, it's the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 13, we read Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in all his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. You can read all four Gospels from a kingdom vantage point. I never did, but you can. And I'm hoping you will a lot more from a kingdom vantage point. If you hang out with us over the next 13 weeks, that's what we're going to do. We will be learning to look at life with a kingdom mindset. Regarding kingdoms, a definition, if I may, a kingdom is the range of someone's effective will. A kingdom is where what you want done gets done. That's what a kingdom is, where what the king wants is what happens. Now, at birth, you start out with no kingdom. When you're born, you can't get what you want, which is why babies cry a lot. But soon, the small ones start establishing their kingdom, where they learn they can control their arms and their legs, and they can go where they want to go. And they can control their hands, and they can throw things, and if they don't want to eat it anymore, they just throw it. And they can control their feet, and they can stomp and kick things. And then they learn that they can control their words. And they learn these two words. You know the two words that kids always learn to say first? Mine and no. And mine and no are kingdom words. They're saying, my kingdom, mine, and no, you cannot impinge upon my kingdom in that way. Kids are learning that they have a kingdom, a range of their effective will, where what they want is what gets done. And for the rest of their lives, they try to expand their kingdom. We all do. Like sometimes guys will get to a point in life and they'll think, my kingdom would be better if I had a queen. And then sometimes married people think, you know, our kingdom would probably be improved if we had little subjects running around here all the time. But I need to remind you, your kingdom only stretches as far as where what you want gets done. So when our kids were little, I said, in my kingdom, I would like for my children to be in bed asleep by 8:30. Never happened. When our kids were young, I said, I want our home to be a place of peace and calm and quiet learning. Nope. Now that they're gone and grown and gone, I say, in my kingdom, I would like for there to be more baklava made all the time. Nothing. Your kingdom is wherever you actually have control, where what you want gets done. And we all have a desire within to be the ruler over a kingdom, however far that may go. Jesus' main theme for the 3 years he hung out here was the kingdom of God, where God's in charge, where his will gets done, where God gets what he wants, and how we can be part of his kingdom. So Matthew 4, an invitation to the kingdom of God, here we go. First, we see that being part of the kingdom of God is a choice. In Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So let's start out here. God's Spirit led Jesus out to be tempted, into the wilderness where he would be tempted. And the first thing we say is, that's weird. What happened to lead us not into temptation? And I think it's always best to answer tricky questions about Scripture with Scripture. And Jesus says to us, pray that you will not be led into temptation, but that God would deliver us from evil. Sometimes God lets us get into hard places as a test for us to see that he's actually given what we need to survive if we will hang on to him. A temptation is actually a testing that God knows we'll get through if we use his help, which is what happened here. The evil one tries to get Jesus to bail on God. God wants Jesus to stay in his kingdom. The evil one is suggesting that that's not a good spot for Jesus. Because after Jesus foregoes food for 6 weeks, the Bible says he's hungry. He's been skipping meals for 6 weeks so that he can focus on God. While I was writing this part of the sermon, this part right here, I had not eaten for about 6 hours. And I saw a Snickers bar on my desk. And I thought, whoa, same. But then I ate it. And I said, not the same. The tempter said, wow, you are hungry, Jesus. God does not seem to be providing. You should take care of this yourself. You need to eat. You need bread. You need to stay alive. That's important. You need something God is not giving you. Why don't you do what you need to do? And the temptation here is to think that if you're in God's kingdom, you're not going to have what you need. God won't do what you need him to do. But Jesus listens to that, and he looks at the evil one and says, no, he will. I was at Panera last week picking up a couple boxes of bear claws and bagels and bread. One of the workers who was closing that night behind the counter said, oh, I am so hungry. I'm just standing there waiting for the boxes. Another worker next to him says, dude, it's all around you. Eat up. And the first guy said, man does not live on bread alone. And I said, oh, that's in the Bible. And both of them turned and looked at me and then quickly went into the back. Sorry, did that come out? Did I say that out loud? Jesus told the evil one that making bread is good, but living by God's word in the kingdom is even better. No, God will provide. I don't need to do that. Matthew 4, verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had Jesus stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it's written, he'll command his angels concerning you, and they'll lift you up in their hands so that you won't strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. So yesterday, some guy flying his plane around Mississippi, threatening to dive bomb Walmart, on all the news channels. All around the world, people were watching, wondering, waiting. That was newsworthy, right? We were all watching one guy. Can you imagine if somebody were to jump off the top of the Empire State Building and float gently down to the street and land and smile and bow? Would that not make the news? Would that not garner attention? Would that not dazzle people? The evil one said, Jesus, you are here to tell people about God's kingdom, right? So jump off the top while they're all watching. You'll be all over the news tonight. If you want people to think well of you, do something extraordinary. God's way, the way you're planning, that's going to take a long time, and it might not even work in the end. Jump. And Jesus looked at the evil one and said, no, I am going to do it the way my Father says to. Verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God, serve him only. All the kingdoms of the world, you can have them, Jesus. I will put them under your control. They're all mine, says the evil one. I can give them to who I choose. And he must have been right, because Jesus doesn't come back with, don't be ridiculous, those aren't yours. It's a real offer. The evil one is willing to sublet the world's kingdoms to Jesus. In exchange for Jesus ditching God's kingdom and putting himself in the range of the evil one's effective will. But Jesus steals himself inside again. He looks at the evil one and he says, be gone. No, my allegiance is to God's kingdom. Being in a kingdom, living in someone's kingdom, is always a choice. It's your choice whose kingdom you will live in. Summing up, the evil one tried to get Jesus to think that your life is what you can do. Your life is what others think of you. Your life is what you have. But Jesus said, no, actually, life is what kingdom you live in, and I choose to do what God wants me to do. So, are you ever tempted to think in any of those three ways? Are you ever tempted to think that your worth in life is tied up to your productivity? Do you work a lot? Like, a lot? If you were to lose your job, or if you were to lose the skills that you have that allow you to do your job, would you feel less of a person? Do you live in a kingdom that evaluates you by how good you are at what you do? Or how about what others think of you? Do you try to make others think well of you all the time? Do you wear masks to look better than you actually are? Do you spend any time in your life trying to manipulate other people's opinions, to trick people into thinking you're cooler, more important, more powerful than you actually are? Do you ever exaggerate a story for effect? Do you ever choose clothing or cologne or college or a career based on what other people think? Have you ever panic cleaned your house because somebody was coming over and you wanted to look better Homes and Garden? I heard about a new congressman who just moved into his new office in the House of Representatives. First morning there, man was walking into his office. He wanted to impress the guy, so he grabbed the phone. He said, yes, Mr. President, I would be happy to meet with you. 10 a.m. tomorrow? Great, see you then. And the new representative proudly hung up his phone. He looked at the man standing in front of his desk. He said, and what can I do for you? And the man said, nothing, Congressman. I'm with IT. I'm just here to hook up your telephone. Does the kingdom you live in judge you based on what other people think of you? Or by what you have? How much you own? How new your phone is, how fast your car is, how big your house is, how long your vacation is, how large your portfolio is. Do people judge you? Is your kingdom judged by what you have? What you can do, what others think of you, what you have, temptations still. And all still reasons that today some people have not chosen to be in God's kingdom. But Jesus says in Matthew 4, no, I am going to stay in. I trust God. And we can too. It's a choice. It's lots of choices, but basically it comes down to one choice. Will we choose to live in the range of God's effective will, where what God wants is what happens? Is that where you're living? Because that's where the kingdom of God is, in the lives of those who choose to live life like he wants us to. And living in his kingdom is way better. Living in God's kingdom, either you are or you aren't, but if you are, it's way better. The people who live in God's kingdom, who live where God gets what he wants, life is better. I was talking to a guy who took a bunch of kids to Creation. Have you heard of that festival, Creation? It's a several-day Christian musical festival that's held out in a big field in Pennsylvania. It's kind of like their version of Kingdom Bound. Creation, huge. One of the teenagers who went with this guy, was part of the group, lost his wallet. He's somewhere in the middle of miles and miles of camping people all over the place, 50,000 people walking around, and he lost his wallet. And the teenager is despairing. It had all his money for the festival. He had saved all summer to come to bring money. He's so sad. He said, I lost my wallet. It's gone. But the leader of the group said, well, let's go down to Lost and Found and see if somebody turned it in. And the kid goes, right, 50,000 people walking around here, and you think somebody who found all my money is going to turn it back in? The leader said, you never know. It's a Christian festival. Let's go check. So they went to Lost and Found. They told the guy behind the counter that he'd lost his wallet. The guy behind the counter said, what color? And the kid said, what color? And the guy pulled out a 5-gallon bucket full of black wallets, a 5-gallon bucket full of brown wallets, and a 5-gallon bucket full of many different colored wallets. And the guy said, yeah, we got lots of wallets turned in. Which color bucket is yours going to be in? That's what God wants from people. Honesty, helpfulness, brotherly kindness, buckets of wallets. When people live in God's kingdom, life is better for the people who live there. When people don't live in God's kingdom, life is not better. Like in Kenya, where people don't live in God's kingdom and where it's customary for raiding tribes to still sweep through villages, steal all the food, and take all the women and use them for a year before they let them leave, at which point the women go home, get all their stuff and all their kids, and then go live with the raiders again for the rest of their lives. Because when people don't live in God's kingdom, the world that those people make isn't good. So my friend and his wife are there in the village talking about Jesus with another missionary couple. They're there in that village, and there's a raid. And the wife of the other missionary gets kidnapped. So my friend Rob and the husband of the kidnapped lady start to go after her. And the village people that they're with say, oh, no, don't go after her. If you do, they will kill you and they will kill her. don't go, they'll kill you. Which obviously did not slow Rob and his buddy down at all. They took off. Somehow they found the raiding tribe, and they didn't get killed. Instead, they started negotiations with the leading men of the tribe for the lady's release, telling the raiders that their god does not approve of such behavior, but they would be willing to trade something for the wife. Eventually, they did trade for the lady's freedom. Rob gave the raiding tribe two of his cows. One lady was equal to two cows, which in Kenya is like a $2 million ransom because cows are more valuable than anything in Kenya. And when Rob and his friend brought the wife back safely, the villagers were stunned. And they listened ever so closely to that story of rescue, negotiating a release. They had never heard of anything like that. That their God would help them get this lady back, even with the paying of $2 million, they could not believe it happened. But the thing that made that village stand in awe of Rob's God the most was the next morning, here come Rob's two cows meandering back into the village. Somehow, the two cows had escaped and found their way back up the trail to the village that they belonged in. And Rob said, then those people in that village were so open to hear about a God who is so powerful that he can rescue a stolen woman and still keep his two cows. Because when people live in God's kingdom, where God gets what he wants, life is better. And you're invited. Everyone is invited. Anyone can get in if they choose, if you want. People that you would think least likely, people that you like the least, people like you, Jesus invites all people in. Anybody can be part of this kingdom. In Matthew 4:18, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. And before I go on, I just have a little commercial here, if that's okay. If any of you have watched The Chosen, and you remember this scene happening with a crazy catch of fish, and Jesus then inviting Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him, if you remember that, and it's kind of vivid, raise your hand. Some of you have. Okay. If you have not, I'm just telling you that reading through the Gospels is even better if you've watched The Chosen. You need to download the app and binge watch all 16 episodes this afternoon so that when you read this, you'll go, oh, that was such a cool thing that just happened right there, because it was. Or if you don't want to do that because you don't like apps on your phone, you don't have too many, you don't want any more, that's fine. This Wednesday night, we're going to start watching The Chosen together as a group. If you'd like to come, we'll be here at 7 o'clock. We'll start with the very first one. We'll watch it. We'll talk about it. We'll enjoy it. And then the next time you read this passage, you'll go, whoa, I remember that, and that was such a cool scene. End of the commercial. Jesus said, you guys want to be in God's kingdom? Follow me. And they did. They chose to follow Jesus deliberately, intentionally, knowing that it would be hard. They followed him. I heard about a village in a valley one dry summer that caught fire. The village caught fire, and it was a big fire, and the flames were huge. So they called some neighboring fire companies to come help them. But none of the neighboring fire companies joined in, because when each truck got to the top of the hill where the village was down in the valley, they looked down and stared, and they would not go because the flames were so fierce. The fire was so fierce. All the trucks stopped at the top of the hill. But one fire truck crested the hill, and all the people standing there turned and watched as this truck just went flying over the hill, went down into the middle of the fire. The guys on the truck jumped off and started fighting the fire like wild men. The firemen, they're standing at the top of the hill, kind of felt bad after seeing these guys' courage, so they jumped into their trucks. They went down there, joined them, and soon with all of that help, the flames were contained, the town was saved, and the guys on the first truck were heroes. A week later, the town had a celebration in honor of those firemen, especially that one crew, and the mayor presented the fire chief from that station with a check for $10,000. And when the fire chief was asked what they might do with the $10,000, the chief said, well, the first thing we're going to do is get the brakes fixed on our fire truck. People in God's kingdom are not there by accident. We don't slip and find ourselves in the kingdom. We don't go too far and say, oh, look where I am. We see what the choice is, and we bet knowingly that God's kingdom is the place to be. Anyone can. Everyone should. Lots of people don't. It's a choice. It is your choice to be in God's kingdom or not be in God's kingdom. So, what's God's kingdom? It's wherever what God wants done gets done. That is the kingdom of God. Why is it good to be in God's kingdom? Because life is best lived by people in the kingdom of God. Who can live life in God's kingdom? Anyone who chooses to follow Jesus. What happens when God's kingdom comes to earth? Here's the last part. When God's kingdom comes to earth, when we let God's kingdom happen through us, it resets the world for good. In verse 23 of Matthew 4, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan, large crowds followed Jesus. Jesus made sick people well. Pain was ended. Slaves were set free. Unloved people felt loved and loved him. When Jesus brought God's kingdom to earth, what wasn't right with the world got right. And people near him said, wow, that is how life ought to be. When you choose to live in God's kingdom where his will gets done, you will say that too. You will say what I used to want in my kingdom, not even close, not even good. Way better to be in his. One of my all-time favorite stories, a 5-year-old girl saw some imitation pearl necklace at a convenience store and fell in love with that necklace, just thought it was so great. So she went home, broke open her piggy bank, brought the money back, and bought the necklace, wore it everywhere. She thought it made her look grown up and pretty. Her mom did insist that she take it off for baths, but it started to make a green circle around her neck anyways. One night, after her dad had read her a Bible story before bed, her dad said, Jenny, do you love me? And she said, oh yes, Daddy, I love you. He said, then I want you to give me that pearl necklace. And she looked at him for a minute and said, oh, no, Daddy, I can't do that. No, how about you can have my favorite white horse, but not my necklace. A few nights later, he came in, he said, Jenny, do you love me? Yes. May I have that pearl necklace? She said, Daddy, no. You can have my favorite doll, but not my necklace. A few nights later, when the father came in, little Jenny was standing there fighting back tears, but she had something in her fist, and when she opened up her hand, she said, here, Daddy, you can have my pearl necklace. At which point, her father reached into his pocket and pulled out a velvet box and opened it up, and there inside was a genuine pearl necklace that he had had for her the whole time. He'd just been waiting for her to give up her dollar store jewelry so he could replace it with the real thing. Living life in your kingdom, living life in a kingdom ruled over by the evil one, is not good. No matter what you think, it's not good. And God wants to take you out of that and let you live life like it was meant to be lived. But the only place you can find that is in the kingdom of God. And the only way in is through the guy who brought it to earth, to us. Matthew 4, Jesus launches the kingdom of God on earth. And some of us are in, and all of us can be in. And in is where you want to be, in the kingdom of God, in the range of his effective will, in where he gets what he wants. And what he wants is for you to live life better than you ever dreamed. So get in. Get in today. It's a choice. Make it. Get in, please. Get in. Let's pray.